Hello and welcome to another expert interview here on the Raise platform. I'm Kathleen of the Allergy Chef. Today we've got Coral from Serving Celiacs. Guys, she is like the coolest lady you'd ever meet, and she's so fun. She's like bubbly, and she takes all of life's lemons. She doesn't ask for chocolate. Instead, she just makes the lemonade, and she gets things done. And honestly, she's the nicest person you'd ever meet. So, hello, Coral. How are you today?
So good. That is quite the introduction. And I have to tell you, I do accept chocolates too.
When life hands you lemons, you ask for chocolate instead?
No, I do. I'll take the lemonade, but I'll make the lemonade. But I also would love to have chocolate with it. I'll even bake it with you.
Okay.
Can we bake some chocolate?
All right. Okay. But you know I'm allergic to chocolate and I don't even like it, right?
No! Yeah. How did I not know this?
Yeah, I think chocolate's like one of the most disgusting things you could ever eat.
Oh, I don't know if we could be friends anymore. We might have to end this right now.
Yeah, I was afraid of that. That's why I don't tell anybody, because that's the response.
That is you make chocolate everything. I watch you.
I know. I think it's weird.
But my favorite thing from you is your carrot cake. You know that. I am obsessed.
Yeah. And when you come visit, there will be trays and trays and trays of carrot cake.
Oh, heavens. I need to move to Northern California.
You do. So tell us, Coral, what makes you an expert in celiac disease?
Oh, man. You know, you think about it and you're like, well, what is an expert, right? An expert is someone who lives it, knows it, breathes it, absorbs it, everything. And that is truly what I've done. So my daughter, I have two daughters with celiac disease and I myself have celiac disease. The first one diagnosed was my daughter, Chanel. And if you're following me, or if you do follow me, or if you find me somewhere, Chanel is just, she is our icon. She is who, her face is all over Serving Celiacs. And the reason being is she's the first one diagnosed. She was super duper sick. She was very, very small. She was on, she wasn't even on the chart. So people say like the 2 percentile. No, she wasn't even a percent. Like that's how crazy it was. So she was very, very small, but then her hair started falling out in chunks. And I'm talking like huge patches, bald spots. And so they thought alopecia, and then they ruled that out. And then they were like, okay, this is getting serious. I think she has cancer. Okay. Leukemia. Okay. Kidney failure. I mean, they were going through everything, doing so many tests. And then finally, I was like, you know what? I have a brother with celiac disease and I know this is different symptoms, but can we just test her for that? And they were like, no, it's not that. And I'm like, okay, as their mother, you've ruled out everything else. Can you test her for celiac disease? So finally they did. And sure enough, she was off the charts. They did blood work and an endoscopic biopsy to confirm. And sure enough, yes, that's exactly what it was. So then I turned, you asked a big question here. So yeah. Then I turned to social media and to the internet to find like, okay, what the heck do I even do? Because that's exactly what my doctors told me to do. Like, oh, just Google it. You'll be fine. Huh? What?
Whoa.
Yeah. I'm not even kidding. So then I turned to it and this was about almost 4 years ago. And let me tell you, the celiac community was not as positive as it is now. Wow. And I was like, found myself so depressed and isolated. And I'm like, holy cow, I can never eat out again. I can never go out anywhere. Where am I going to take my daughter? You know, all of these things. And then I decided, you know what? I've got to do something about it. Like, this is not death sentence. This is not, we're not doing chemo. We're not doing dialysis. We're living gluten-free. Yeah. There's other, you know, ramifications with it, but pretty much that's what it is. We don't have to take meds. We're gluten-free. So then I decided to research the heck out of it. And I started my journey on Serving Celiacs. And in the process, I linked up with a chef. That's amazing. Her name's Meg. And we created the formula cookbook to be able to adapt every recipe to whatever your needs are, whatever you need to eliminate. We also created an educational gaming app called Allergy Reality, which is really fun. And my kids just love to play with it. And now I'm kind of back home, channeled in on my celiac journey. And so Serving Celiacs did like a little revamp. And now I have an educational e-course teaching people, coaching people, not only what it is and what you need to do, the scientific of it all, but the majority of the e-course is the emotional connection, the emotional drive, and the emotional how-tos, like how to still be positive, how to eat out, how to have friends. That's a huge thing. I know you can relate. Kathleen, yeah, you can relate, right?
Yeah, I can totally relate.
Yeah. Yeah. So I have all of these different platforms and tools and resources for people to help out. And one of the most, this month is very exciting because I joined forces with Just Ingredients, Carlin. She is incredible. And so we created together a gluten-free guide. And that in itself is a whole amazing, amazing resource. And then I'm going to be starting to do live webinars with Q&A to be able to talk people, coach people through these things. And I'm going to do a podcast, which is so exciting. So there you go. There's my platform of serving celiacs and how we got started.
That's amazing. It's really cool because you're absolutely right. People kind of look at it and they think it's a death sentence. You know, or you get the comments when people hear like, oh yeah, my kid's, you know, allergic to dairy. Oh, I could never live without ice cream. You know, people, and they don't mean harm. They really don't. They're trying to connect with you in their own way. They just don't realize, like, you actually could if it's going to kill you, you know, but they haven't been put in that situation yet. So to them, it really is like the end of the world. Whereas for us, we just kind of see it as it's a different world. You know, you can still navigate it. It's doable. I'd like to think that between you and I, we've done a pretty good job making it a livable life, you know.
Heck yeah, we rock this, man.
Yeah. So tell us then, because you kind of touched on this a little bit, for people who are listening where maybe they've just been diagnosed with celiac disease or they are suspecting it, what is the precise definition of celiac disease and how is it different from a food allergy? Oh, I feel like I'm Alex Trebek on Jeopardy right now. Like, I know all the answers, but I'm letting you answer. You know what I mean? Like, I have that card that he has, and you know me. Yeah.
You are so cute. Yeah. Okay, I want 2,000 points for this one.
No, actually, this one's the daily double. You can wager how many points.
Yes, let's go. So celiac disease is an autoimmune disease. So it is actually not an allergy and not an intolerance. Can you have those with it? Yes. But celiac disease itself is not an allergy and intolerance. So it's an autoimmune disease. So your body is literally attacking itself if you digest gluten. If you consume gluten, your body goes on attack mode. And the villi in the lining of your intestines, gluten destroys that. And the villi are what is so important for your body to grab that nutrients out of your food. I'm like showing you with my hands, and I know this is only an audio, but that's okay. Envision little villi, little finger-like projections, and they're getting damaged and destroyed. And so that means what's happening to your food is you can be eating the healthiest diet ever, but if you have an autoimmune disease, and especially with celiac disease, you're not absorbing any of the good nutrients. It's just kind of like that dumping effect. Most people have diarrhea, although in our family, we have the exact opposite. We have constipation. And I know that's TMI, but if you're listening, you know, like you're a celiac or someone with digestive issues, you can understand and not be grossed out. Because this is literally our reality. So celiac disease is not an allergy and not an intolerance, but it's actual, your body is literally attacking itself. I have a post that I love, and it says, gluten activates my self-destruct button. Huh? And it's true, right?
It is true. That's epic.
It is true.
I love that. I think that's going to be my new favorite line. Except in my case, I'll just say everything activates myself.
That's why I love you. That's why I love you.
And I'll wear it on the shirt. I'll be like, everything. Yeah, no, I like this. This is good.
Good.
All right. So that tells us what celiac disease is. Now, both you and I know the process of diagnosis. I wanted to touch on this because I had read this recently, and it's such a helpful tool. This happened to us once, and I didn't really think much of it at the time because I realized I was asking for something that was way out of their wheelhouse. But in your case, it totally should not have happened. Whenever a medical professional refuses your request, when you say, could you test for such and such, and they say no, then you should follow up with a simple statement. I'd like you to document on my medical chart your refusal to test. And what I read is actually applied to people in poorer communities. There was a lady who did not have access to, like, you know, good healthcare, et cetera. And she was refused some kind of test. And once she asked them to write down that they refused, they actually granted her request. Yeah.
Love that.
It's such a simple statement that can actually help you when the diagnosis phase, especially if you're like really passionate about it or you're convinced. You know, obviously if you're mentally unstable and you're just asking for all sorts of crazy things, that's different. I could see why they might kind of go, maybe not, we're not going to test for every imaginary thing. But especially when there's a child involved, you know, and it's clearly not like Munchausen's or anything of that nature. Your child is clearly sick and you make a reasonable request and they refuse it. Just politely request, you know, I'd like you to document that you refuse my request to check for celiac disease and make sure they really write that down.
And oh, you my goodness. You're asking for. That is money.
Yeah.
I love that. Oh, does that mean our timer's done?
No, that was my alarm to make sure that I opened up the Zoom room because I thought 30.
That's okay. Okay, good. I'm glad you're not cutting me off this short.
No, we're fine. We're fine. We're still going.
Wow, I love that. You know why?
As long as you want. Yeah.
But I love that. You know, I actually work in the medical field and I do ultrasounds for an OBGYN. So I scan babies and I do that a couple days a week. You know, I have lots of heartfelt passions in my life and that is another one. And just knowing in the medical field, like that would cause like a red flag. Nobody wants to have that document and no doctor would want that document.
Exactly. That's so when I read it, it was like, this is genius. And now I have to start telling people. It's, I plan on telling people all this month long, given that it's May and it's all these great, exciting things that we're supposed to be talking about. Yes. I feel like it's a great tool just to have, you know?
Oh my goodness. I love that. I love that so much.
All right. So we've covered what it is, what celiac disease is. And, you know, the diagnosis phase can be completely different for everyone, which leads me to the next topic, symptoms. You know, symptoms. Here's what's funny. It reminds me of, you know, how men and women can show different signs of a heart attack.
Yes.
I feel like celiac disease is just like that.
Oh,
no two people are truly the same. You know, you've got some people who gain weight and some people who lose it. You've got people who their hair falls out. You've got people where it's just the dumping effect. Like you said, some have diarrhea, some have constipation. It can literally present any which way. And I guarantee you men are different from women and children are different from adults. And, you know, you've got different genetic components coming into play and there's the what if factor. You know, I share this with people sometimes so that they can understand one of the problems with the world that we live in. Medical companies, pharmaceuticals, big agriculture, et cetera, none of them are required to test the what if. In other words, if your product is considered safe, it's this very particular chemical that's used on fruit, right? You're not required to test what happens when we combine our fruit chemical with the fruit wax that everybody's using, right? What happens when we combine our fruit product with the pesticides everyone's using? You know, no one's checking for what if. And I feel like within the human body, you have all of these what ifs as well, right? Well, what if you have celiac disease and kidney failure? What if you have celiac disease and type 1 diabetes, right? What if you have celiac disease and lupus? We don't know. And if you're like me, where you have so many issues all stacked, you know, I'm the great mimicker. I mimic cancer, lupus, Crohn's, even Job's disease, a super rare condition. I mimic everyone. So I can literally say I've walked a mile in everyone's shoes. But that makes for a really tough diagnosis. So what was your diagnosis like? And what do you feel, if there's even a safe answer for this, what are the hallmarks of celiac disease? Like, if I'm suffering from maybe these 10 things, I definitely need to be checked for celiac disease. Or can we even say that there's those symptoms?
To be honest, that is like, I mean, that's the question of the century, really. It is so difficult to pinpoint. Because you have this huge wide range. You have people who are like deathly sick in the hospital and need crazy assistance. You have people who have no idea that something's even wrong with them. And even going on a gluten-free diet, they get diagnosed and they don't even feel on the outside. They don't even notice the difference when they eat gluten and when they don't. So it's very hard for them to stick on a gluten-free diet. Oh, I mean, that's the range we're dealing with. So it's so hard. But I think if you're on a journey trying to figure out what's wrong with you, the most common one is just having GI issues. If you've been diagnosed with an IBS or something and you're still just not getting, IBS is like the most commonly like misdiagnosed of celiac disease, which IBS isn't even, like doctors should not stop at IBS. IBS.
It's such a cheap excuse.
Yeah, it's a cop out. it's a total cop-out.
It really is a cop-out. It's
a cop-out because it's like, yeah, you have an irritable bowel syndrome. It's like you have a headache. But okay, what's stemming from that?
Yes.
Is it the chocolate?
Yeah.
What's causing my headache? I don't just get them for nothing. Well, I mean, I bet some people do, but you know, so that's kind of what it is. So, but if you have GI issues, whether it's severe constipation or severe diarrhea or the mixture of the both, headaches are often in adults. Vomiting is most common in children, not necessarily adults. My daughter actually did start vomiting before she got her official diagnosis. She started throwing up after everything. So just an overall weakening of your immune system, of just being very lethargic or weak or small. Extended belly is so common on everybody, but in a child. You know the pictures like from Ethiopia that's like, yeah, save the child. Okay, honestly, that is how my daughter looked, and I have countless people sending me pictures, and that's how their children look. So a really full extended belly with like, then you can see the ribs sticking out. That is like, I know it's like the saddest image ever. And it actually makes me want to cry every time somebody sends me a picture, because it's like, oh, that's so sad to think like you're trying to feed your child all these healthy, good nutrient foods, which have gluten in them, because you don't know that it's that.
Yeah.
And they like look like someone from Ethiopia who has no food. Like, holy cow. Like, that is so devastating as a mom or a dad or a caretaker to have your child or loved one go through that. And it's like, oh my heavens. So that's like a huge red flag for children. But for me, okay, let me just tell you, let me like stop getting so emotional, but like, this is so random.
Okay.
So we go through all these emotional things of what could be wrong. But then you have these random things. For me, I know if I've been glutened, because that's like a technical word in the celiac world that we're adding to the dictionary. If I have been gluten, guess where I feel it first? My left shoulder. How crazy is that?
Like, I love it. No, because for me, if I eat dates, it's my left knee.
Oh, stop.
Only the left knee, and only with dates. It's fascinating.
Oh, that is crazy. Okay, so you can totally relate to my spastic thoughts and feelings.
Yeah.
So it's my left shoulder, and my left shoulder is bad. I don't know. My whole life I've had a bad left shoulder. I didn't have an accident or anything, but that's like my weak spot. So whenever I have a headache or anything, it's always stemming from my shoulder, whatever. Anyways, so that's my weak spot in my area. And this is how I kind of explain it to others is, it's an autoimmune disease, celiac diseases. So your body's attacking itself. So if you have a weak area, if you have a bad knee, if you have a bad elbow, if you have a bad shoulder, you have a bad toe, I don't know, whatever it is, you're going to feel your body's in attack mode. So it's not able to help the triggers, the sensors, everything. You're going to feel where it's that negative area. Does that make sense?
Totally makes sense.
So that's where I'm like, holy cow, it could be your left pinky toe. You have celiac disease. It's so hard. But the way you get tested, and this is like, I feel like the most important part, the way you get toasted. Wow.
You the got way you get on the brain.
Yeah. Yeah. Gluten-free toast.
Of course.
So the way you get tested is so crucial. You need to be eating gluten before you get tested. And I'm not talking like have a piece of bread and then go get tested if you've been gluten-free for a while. I'm talking a regular everyday, occurrence. Some doctors and some scientists or whatever say 4 to 6 weeks. Some will say 8 to 10 weeks of having gluten. And that is like, oh, if you've been gluten-free for a while and then asked to do the gluten challenge, that is like the most miserable thing in the whole entire world. And it's so hard. Yeah, so if you're at a...
It's interesting because you say that. I actually always tell people, if you've already been gluten-free and you know you feel better, don't do it. In other words, why torture yourself for those? Because, and the thing is I think there are higher rates of false negatives for people who have been gluten-free, that do the challenge, that get the test, because honestly, their systems are functioning much better. And so for those 8 to 10 weeks, they already have like the momentum to kind of fight it off a little bit.
Right.
So it's not like, you know, it's not like your daughter where she was already on it for forever and she hadn't been off of it yet.
Right.
I always tell people, it's like, you know, when it comes to food allergies, it's different. You know, you don't have to have that period where you're either on it or off it. You either are allergic or you're not. Whereas with the celiac disease, it's like, I feel like that's a tall request. Like, yeah. You need to torture yourself for the next several months, every day.
Right. So that is actually my exact story. So my daughter was diagnosed. I went gluten-free with her because I've always had GI issues and migraines and different things. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go gluten-free with her. Why not? And after like 8 months, I started really feeling better. And I'm like, you know what? I should get tested. This is like pre-knowing. This is why I speak out so much on it. So then I went to get tested and they said, well, you need to eat gluten or whatever. So I was like, okay, I ate a cracker. I was so sick, like devastatingly sick. And they told me I needed to do this 4 to 6 weeks. And I was like, this is the worst idea ever. Like, who ever made this up? This is so dumb. So I literally stopped that day. And then I did my biopsy. And of course it showed it was inconclusive, right? Because how could they know? So in my charts, in my medical charts, I have an amazing doctor. She put it in that I have celiac disease because of all my symptoms and everything. But even without her stamp of approval, I know I'm a carrier. You have to have the genetics with celiac disease. I'm the carrier. So I know that I have it. And same thing with my youngest daughter.
You've got your brother who has it.
Right. My niece has it. Two of my daughters have it. So I'm just like, yeah. So I tell everybody, I'm very upfront, but I'm unofficially, officially diagnosed with celiac disease. And that's my own personal journey and personal choice. Yeah, I can go and try to do the gluten challenge every day and like die for like 3 months. You know, that's so lame. So anyways, that is kind of my journey with that and being tested. So, okay. So blood work, you can do the genetic testing for it to see if you even carry the gene. I think that's really important. And that you could do if you're eating gluten or not. Okay. That one, you could just see if you have the genetics to even one day get it one. Okay. Then you can do the blood work, the IgG, IgA. They'll do a whole panel of you to see if those, test positive. Now, even if you don't test positive on that, you can very, very well still have celiac disease, because the true and only way to be diagnosed with celiac disease is the endoscopic biopsy, and you need to be put under. It's about a 2-minute procedure. It like seriously is like so easy. They just put a little scope down your throat, and it's not even big enough. You don't wake up with a sore throat or anything. They just put you out. And then they look at everything, get some biopsy, come out, and then it's over. Like literally it's so fast. And so, that is the true way to get diagnosed at this time. And like everybody else is trying to pay for a cure and all these donations, find a cure. I'm like, you know what? Let's like find out how to get diagnosed better. So anytime I'm donating or talking about a cause, I am all about, let's put money in to diagnosing these people, because that is the most difficult part of having celiac disease. Because once you know you have it, you're gluten free. That's what you do. So
I guess to me, in a weird way, I don't want to say that I'm offended necessarily, but I hate the idea of let's find a cure in the sense of, guys, just eat gluten free, right? Like, it's an autoimmune disorder. Just eat gluten free. It's not that hard, you know, but I realize for some people it is really hard. But I don't know. I just feel like as a society, we've come to this place where food is not the same. You know, you rewind 100 years, the quality of food is completely different. The types of chemicals they're using, completely different. All that stuff is just totally different. And the truth be told is, you know, on one hand, you've got people who go gluten-free and they go the really healthy gluten-free route, right? And then on the other hand, you've got people who go gluten-free and it's the science experiment route. And either way, it's like, just go gluten-free, you know? But you have the same problem in the food allergy world as well. Like anything that's egg-free and you read the ingredients, it's like the science experiment. And I'm like, you know what? I think we'll just go without today. Like, it's just interesting how people who, we get these diagnoses and sometimes we're still sick because we're still not really eating quality food. You know,
it's
like people who tell me, you know, our friends used to make fun of us back in the day about having to shop at Whole Foods all the time, just because, you know, whole paycheck and all that kind of stuff. And then they would get really excited when they ate from Whole Foods. They'd say, check it out, I got some organic ice cream at Whole Foods. And I'm like, yeah, but it's still ice cream, you know, like,
yeah,
it's still junk food. Like, am I the only one that gets that? So I don't know. I feel like the whole thing is, it's this whole journey. And again, it's almost like, it's like you said, let's diagnose them. Can we stop trying to cure them and let's just diagnose them and then get real nutrition into them?
Yes.
Honestly, that is the cure. Like, if you think about it, that's the cure. Because if you were to do anything different, then what you're really saying is, I'm going to give you a rubber stamp of approval to go eat the worst junk food on the planet because it all has gluten in it. So, you know, you don't want to give up your junk food. I get that. You know, it just, the whole thing doesn't okay. work with me.
Let me tell you, this is the journey that I've been on the past like month or two as I've linked up with Just Ingredients. I know that you follow her and love her too.
Yeah.
And so we're putting together this guide of what is gluten-free and safe, right? Yeah. So I make a list of all the foods we eat or all the foods like that are gluten-free and good. And I send it over to her and she gets to go through all the ingredients. Now she doesn't have celiac disease, but she is all about the ingredients and not having glyphosate and making sure it's clean and like truly clean and organic and non-GMO and all of those good things, right?
Yeah. She's a woman after my own heart. I love her.
Yes. She's yeah. incredible. So I send her all this stuff and she's like, Coral, you gotta be kidding me. No. She would like, we were going back, I'm like, okay, what about this brand? Okay, what about this one of this brand? Okay, what about this? Back and forth, night and day. Like, okay, I need a better pancake mix. And I'm like, oh my heavens, I've like given you everything I have. But so we dissected this so well and so in like, oh, so good. We put our heart and soul into it, both of us. Celiac with the ingredients and boom. We have this guide that teaches you and shows you, like I have little pictures on each one. So you were like, recognize it. Oh yeah, that's what it looks like. That's what it looks like. And we give you good, safe choices, which are mostly good. And then we give you the best choice.
Yeah.
And that right there just gives people the, like it's empowering to know, okay, just because I eat gluten-free does not mean you're healthy. Holy cow. Hershey Kisses are gluten-free. There you yeah. go. Right?
Skittles yeah. are gluten-free. I hate that. Oh my goodness. Yeah. That's one of my biggest pet peeves that I keep to myself because I never want to call out other parents. Like that's not my thing, but I hate it in the food allergy world. We were like Skittles and I'm like, no.
Yes. Artificial dyes.
Hello. Sure. We have food allergies. Our insides are not strong and we're not going to feed them Skittles. Like it just,
right.
it gets Amen. To me. But honestly, Amen. No child should be eating Skittles. That's my thing.
Yeah.
No child should be eating this stuff.
Right.
But I have a whole issue with the food industry. That's my own issue.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. That's my own private.
Me too. Yeah.
The food industry. But yeah.
We need to create our own FDA. Can we do that?
I don't see why not. We could call it the CKA.
Yes.
Yeah, and we'll get Just Ingredients involved too. It'll be the three of
yes.
us.
That's yes. perfect. And she's Kay. She's Carolyn too. So.
Okay. So we'll call it, KCK. This is perfect.
Yes.
Okay. I'm actually on board with this, just so you know. I'm totally on board.
Good one. Good one.
Totally on board. You think I'm joking. I'm not.
You're too bad.
It's like our food allergy show, our award show. I'm working on
yes.
it. It's going to be a thing.
I know. Huh. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, what else do you have for me?
Oh, let's that's right. More. We got so busy chit-chatting that I got lost. For those of you guys listening, again, we're here with Coral from Serving Celiacs, and, you know, I really hope that each one of you listening has someone in your life that you can just chit chat with and have a good time with. I mean, I hope you guys can hear. We really are friends. This is us just enjoying our time together and sharing knowledge and resources with you guys. Everyone needs to have someone in their life like that, that really understands their diagnosis and their journey and just someone to chat with. But so today,
and you know what right before you start on the next thing, what I love is we don't have the same issues.
No, we don't.
But we get it.
Yeah.
Isn't that awesome? We just get each other because you don't have to find another celiac to be a friend, to like have that support group.
Yeah.
You don't have to find another peanut allergy. You don't have to find another lupus. You don't have to find any, just find like-minded, positive people.
Yeah. I think positive is the key because, you know, yes. I've had some really good friends over the years where they were just so negative about it all
yes.
in the food world. And I kind of just, it's not that I don't want to be their friend. It's just, I just need a break from the negativity. And
yeah.
Like, I need to just chit chat with someone who's going to be nice and kind and fun about it. I mean, don't get me wrong. I know we all have those days. I know you can probably complain to your husband sometimes. And, you know, I complain to Carlton when nobody's listening, right? We all have those moments. But right. at the same time.
On the daily?
Yeah, like, no. And there are some people where they live in it on the daily. And I'm like, guys, there's a better way. There just has yep. to be a better way.
Yeah.
So today we've talked about what is celiac disease, versus an allergy, the common and less common symptoms. The other thing, and we talked, of course, about the resources that you offer at Serving Celiacs, which is really awesome. And of course, our good friend, Just Ingredients, and that's just.ingredients on Instagram, if you guys are on Instagram. And if you're not, I mean, you have three people you need to go follow right now.
That's right.
So the last thing I wanted to share with people, and this is because this rocked my world, and it really shouldn't have, because I come from a line of, I was a graphic designer and I do photography and all that kind of jazz, right? So pitfalls and cross-contamination, I want people to understand the severity of it. So we hear the phrase 20 parts per million all the time, okay?
Yeah.
And I recently stumbled onto an image which was 1 million pixels in size, and there was a dot that was 20 pixels, 20 parts per million. And I was like, mind blown, right? And then of course, there was this whole discussion about what does 20 parts per million look like on a piece of bread where you have volume? It's not just a flat series of a million pixels, right? 20 parts per million is all it takes to get a response out of some people, right? And 20 parts per million for some people, it's like, you might as well just put them in a hospital bed and call them dead, right?
Yep.
It's the tiniest of dots. And I think when you finally see that dot, it makes you understand why there are some people on the extreme end, like myself, that say, don't even bother eating out. It's in the air. It's on the cutting boards. It's in the dishwasher. It's everywhere. It's literally everywhere. Like, how big of a gamble are you going to take? And then you've got people like you where you're like, no, we're going to do this. And it's so funny because I love seeing people like you who are willing to take that risk and who are just like, no, there's a way to get around this. And then you have places like Disneyland where you're just like, wow, I wish everyone could be like this. Yeah. If everybody were like Disneyland, I'd totally tell people to eat out, right?
Yeah.
Disneyland is the gold standard of how to handle separate cooking spaces, et cetera. You know, there's bakeries like ours where it's completely dedicated. So there really is no challenge. But for Disneyland, where the challenge is obvious, they have the most amazing track record. In fact, fun fact, we when we did Disney a few years ago, we did the thing where you pre-book the restaurant and tell them about the allergies. Yeah. And everything. And so for our allergy kid, they brought out his food and he had ordered a side of fruit. And they said, in the nicest of ways, they said, we're going to serve this part of the meal, and the fruit, there may have been a cross contamination with the cutting boards. We actually did not bring it out. We're starting fresh to bring him.
I want to cry.
What? You know, and for some people, they don't get it. They're like,
Yeah.
Some people would get upset, and we were just like, thank you.
I love
you. Thank you for not risking our child's health and safety.
We'll wait 5 more minutes.
Yeah, like I'll wait happily. Happily, yep. I would wait for safety. And that's the thing. If everyone was Disneyland, I would happily say to everyone, go eat out. My goodness, go eat out, right?
Yeah.
So what, from your expertise, what are the pitfalls? Where are the areas of cross-contamination? I know for me, I'm always pushing reading labels and calling companies. For example, there was a brand recently where they claimed the cereal was gluten-free. Well, once you call them, they'll tell you it's made on shared equipment with wheat. And I'm like, I'm sorry, what? You know, you can't tell me your cereal is gluten-free if you're making it on shared equipment with wheat. I feel like you're crossing a line at that point.
Right. Totally.
So what, in your area of expertise, tell our listeners today, pitfalls and cross-contamination. Where's it coming in? Again, I feel like Alex Trebek right now, because I want to start shouting out the topics. Like, I'll take skin lotion for 500, please, right?
I know.
All these spots. So tell us some of your top hits for pitfalls.
So, well, I want to go back to like the very beginning where you're talking about less than 20 parts per million, because I've recently been talking with the gluten intolerance group, which they are over all the certified gluten-free labels. If we could show a visual, it's what it says, certified with the big GF, and then it's like gluten. Anyways,
okay,
gluten-free certified logo, the main one. It's over 65,000 different products. Anyways, that one is actually, if it has that stamp of approval, that is less than 10 parts per million.
Wow.
So that is incredible. And so if you are going to trust something, I would definitely trust that label.
Okay.
If it's marked gluten-free and it's not by that label, example, Cheerios, That's all I'm going to say about that.
Got it.
That is not less than 10 parts per million. Why? Because it doesn't have that logo on it. So eat at your own risk. Okay. That's just an example, and I'm not here to bash.
No.
I'm here to educate.
I think it's so important that we educate. We can bash when we're not on the air. How about that? But yeah. We totally want to educate you guys, which is why I always bring up the story of the cereal. It's like, it's gluten-free. It's made on charity equipment with wheat. Hello, right. Your sighty senses should be going off and you should not be eating that food.
Right.
Same goes for things like Cheerios.
So to continue on and like what we do about cross-contamination, I mean, people just think like, oh, shared equipment or whatever, but what about that peanut butter jar? Well, you wouldn't do, you know, not for allergies, but like, what about that mayonnaise jar? What about the jelly jar? What about the jars that you stick your knife in and you wipe your bread and you put it back in, right? All of those, your butter, holy cow, you know, the butter, anything that you're doing that you wipe and you put back in, that is definitely not okay. So when do we eat out at other people's homes? No, because they don't have they might make you a gluten-free sandwich, but they might be using their mayonnaise that they've used a million times. Like,
can we say though about those friends though? They mean well.
Oh, and I
just want to put that out there.
Them.
We know they mean well, guys. It's just okay.
So let me tell you what I do. Let me tell you what I do in when my kids first start a class at school or whatever. I let the teacher know and I let all the parents know. I am so grateful, you know, for your support and love. And I just want you to know beforehand that we don't eat anything that's from anybody else's kitchen because it's truly not safe. And so if you want to make brownies or anything like that, let me know and I'll make them. And I am so appreciative of any effort that you make. But unless it's packaged and it has a certified gluten-free label on it, we can't eat it. And so I just tell you this at the beginning because I don't ever want you to go through all the trouble and buy the really expensive cake mixes and make me a cake that we can't eat. And so I just want to say thank you in advance. And I am here to support and we will never feel left out. I start every school year, every class like that because I never want people to think that I'm like such a snob or like, oh, I won't eat it because you have cooties. Like, no, it's not a matter of that. It's like literally like saving us or not. Yeah. So that's kind of what I do there. Eating out is a whole other beast. And I have learned, I call the restaurants. I see different reviews. There's a great app, Find Me Gluten Free. I go off of that. I read other people's reviews. I don't take those, you know, some people bash anything. You know, you never know with reviews. But calling myself. And then I also will go in and I will eat there before I would ever take my kids. I will never go somewhere that I've not eaten. My girls are so sensitive. And so I would go first, test out like the waiters and everything. And then I can just go hungry. I don't care. Like if I don't feel confident, I can have my husband eat or whatever. And I could just sit there and be fine. Usually have a bar packed in my bag or something. But I wouldn't take my kids there until I'm totally confident. There's only two places that I take my kids to. There's only two places. Like, that's pretty crazy. So we don't eat out a lot. But you know what? We save a lot of money because of that.
Yeah.
And we're fine. Like, we're fine. If we go somewhere and it's like my kids' party or something, like a pizza party or whatever, we just bring our own food and we have like, I clean the table, we bring our own food and they're fine. And I try to bring like-minded stuff. So if it's a pizza, then I try to bring a pizza. Like, so we're normal. We might be a little different, but I don't even care. We rock it. Like, it doesn't matter.
That's been our comments.
People's comments do not offend me at all. I'm just like, oh, that's good. Cause you don't even know what it's like. That's really cool.
Yeah. That's been kind of our go-to basically for almost 20 years. It's, you know, you bring your own thing and you do your own thing and you just keep your kids safe and that's all that matters.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. This has been so awesome. I love spreading this awareness and being able to speak out and kind of let people know. And like the main message that I love to share with people is that it's only as hard as you tell yourself it is, right? It's only as hard as you tell yourself it is. It's all mind over matter. You can get through anything with the right attitude. And I think we can all we know people of, you know, with really hard walks of life. And, you know, you think, wow, how are they still positive? Well, be that person, be that cool person that everyone is like looking at for support and for happiness and guidance. And like, I tell my kids, they're the coolest things, celiac and all. I'm like, you are the coolest celiac there ever was. Like, that just believe it. just believe that you are, whatever you it is, whether it's peanuts and dairy and the combination of it all, like be the coolest that, like just own it.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, it's funny. I had never actually put it in those words before in my own mind, but you're absolutely right. It's only as hard as we tell ourselves it is. And I don't think, sometimes when it comes to myself, I tell myself it's hard. But when it comes to our kids, I've never really seen it as hard. I've just seen it as, this is what it is. We just got to get around it, you know? So I love that outlook. It's super wonderful. Everyone, this has been a great expert interview with Coral from Serving Celiacs. She is totally a gluten-free celiac disease expert. She's also like one of the most happiest, positive people you'd ever meet. So if you ever get a chance to meet up with her in person or connect with her online, I strongly suggest you do so. So Coral, thank you so much for being here with us all today. We really appreciate it.
Aw, thank you, Kathleena. You are like such an amazing role model to me. Like I look up to you and all the goodness you bring. All of you listening are so lucky to have Kathleena as your guide and as an inspiration and hope. I always tell everyone, man, if you have multiple allergies or like you feel like you can't eat anything, you need to talk to Kathleena from the Allergy Chef, because you know what? She will provide you with the best goodness that you'll ever have, the best cupcake or the best whatever that you'll ever have, because that's what you do. You bring joy into people's lives. And I'm just so grateful to call you my friend. And you really are my friend.
It's not you. It's like, you're like the best friend. Guys, again, make sure you have yourself a Coral in your life where you just got a good friend who's positive and bubbly and just fun to be around. You know, make sure you're around people that bring you a smile, because if not, you don't want to live your life being negative, you know, and dealing with other issues. So with that, we will see you guys all next time. And thank you for listening here at Raise.